you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. This edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop, located at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Have you got all your Christmas shopping done yet? Isn't that just the most irritating, pretentious question that anyone can ask this time of year? Good grief, it's still a week until Christmas. And the people who ask that question are almost always those disgusting, holier-than-thou people who have already finished all their Christmas shopping. And the only reason why they ask, "Have you got all your Christmas shopping done yet?" is because they want to feel smug and superior. But I hope the show we did about Christmas gifts for the backyard chef at least helped you a little bit. I remember several years ago, my family gave me one of those handy little grilling baskets, you know, the kind you use to grill fish or maybe a vegetable medley. Bless its heart, I wore out that poor little basket. So when it fell apart, I switched to a grilling tray. Now, the grilling tray wasn't quite as easy to use on the grill because I had to turn the fish one at a time or the sliced up veggies one at a time by hand instead of just flipping the basket over to the other side. But cleaning up the tray was a lot easier than the basket, and that made me happy. I guess I could have put the basket in dishwater, but I'm pretty stubborn. I'm probably borderline obsessive compulsive about hand washing big items so they don't take up space in the dishwasher. And with the basket, I found myself using an SOS pad to get the racks clean one at a time. And with the tray, I'd just soak it in hot soapy water for a half hour and everything would fall off of it. Now, cleanup's a big deal around my house because I do it. Cleanup's always a big deal around the house to whomever is doing the cleanup around the house. I got a lot of experience with KP when I was in the Army, and I told my wife early on in our marriage, if you cook it, I'll clean it up. Yeah, unfortunately, that extends to even the times when I cook, too. But when it comes to Christmas shopping, I really do hope that the show on gift ideas for the backyard chef was helpful for you. We live in Sugar Land, and First Colony Mall is in Sugar Land. I like to call First Colony Mall ground zero for stress and traffic, so I don't even drive past the mall if I can avoid it. I will literally go 2 miles out of my way to keep from being caught in traffic jams and Highway 6 and the Southwest Freeway. As a matter of fact, that's one of the big reasons why we featured interviews with people like Sam Hickey at Creekstone Outdoor Living and Melly Gomez at Sur Le Table and my good friend Rick Allspa, who owns and operates Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. When you go Christmas shop in places like that, you're going to avoid all that mall stress and traffic. And many times, their prices are going to be better than you'll find on the identical items in the mall. So if you missed that show, you can always go back and listen to it again on our website. Just go to theoutdoorcookingshow.com, then click on the word podcasts. You can listen to any or all of the shows we've done, dating all the way back to July when we first started the Outdoor Cooking Show. And you can do it anytime, anywhere, on any device, phone, tablet, computer. It's really convenient. TheOutdoorCookingShow.com. Click on podcasts. However, we still greatly appreciate when you join us here on the radio for the Outdoor Cooking Show. And we are now officially 1 week away from Christmas Day. So,
have you got all your Christmas shopping done yet?
Sorry, I couldn't resist. We started a new tradition in our little family last year, and I really love it. We give lots of presents to our only grandchild, Liam. He's 5 years old. He's the center of attention. But the rest of us draw names, and we restrict our gift giving to just one gift for one other family member. For instance, last year I drew my daughter's name, Skylar. This year I drew my other daughter's name, Danielle, my daughter-in-law. So in keeping with our new family tradition, we're going to be saving a lot of money. We give one gift to one other family member. And no, I'm not going to tell you what I'm giving Danielle, because she has been known to listen to the Outdoor Cooking Show too. So instead, let's talk about cooking for Christmas. Don't worry. I don't have another one of those cute little Christmas dinner stories, you know, to match the one I told you about Thanksgiving dinner at my grandma's house. If you missed it, you can still hear it on the podcast section of our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. No, to be honest, my memories of Christmas are centered on the gifts I got, not the food we ate. Oh, I do remember we had big Christmas Day feasts. I just don't remember what we ate. It seems to me like we had turkey and dressing at both Thanksgiving and Christmas, but I can't even be sure about that. I remember getting my own portable black and white TV for my room one Christmas. That was a big deal, but I don't remember what we ate for Christmas dinner that day. I also remember a story my mother told over and over again in disgust about how the first Christmas she and Dad were married, his parents gave them a white dress shirt as a gift. Yes, them. The card was even addressed to both of them, but it was a white dress shirt for my dad. She told that story so many times. But I don't remember what we ate at Grandma Hame's house for Christmas dinner that day. Food just didn't make a big impression on me at Christmas. But as I got older, especially after I became an adult, it most definitely did. That's when I first remember noting that our family ate turkey and dressing at both Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I remember noting that that was a little different from what many of my friends' families did. A lot of them ate Christmas ham, but I don't ever remember Mom and Dad or either set of my grandparents eating ham at Christmas. And there are so many creative ways to prepare ham. But when my wife decided we were going to try a ham one Christmas, I can distinctly remember standing in line at a store with the words honey and baked on the sign out front. However, it's really not all that difficult to grill a ham on your backyard cooker. Now, I know, a lot of people are scared to death to grill large cuts of meat like a whole ham. But if that's the way you feel, buy one pre-cooked and offset the ham on the grill to warm it up, and then you'll still get a little bit of that smoky flavor. It won't permeate the middle of the ham as if you had smoked it, but you'll be surprised how effective it is. Of course, if you're one of those serious foodies who likes to smoke brisket or a pork butt, then smoking ham is child's play for you. And I should be interviewing you on the Outdoor Cooking Show. You know, that's a good idea. Somebody make a note of that, please. We need to figure out a way to interview some serious backyard chefs instead of just professional chefs. That's a good idea. We need to do that. But ham is just one of many, many, many different directions you can go when it comes to Christmas dinner. There are other kinds of pork, too, and they're very popular. Chops, loin, crown roast. That sounds really interesting. I've never tried that. But some people prefer beef to pork or turkey and dressing, and that's what my family does. But beef can also run the gambit, from steak to prime rib to tenderloin. How about Swedish meatballs? That sounds good. And then there's what my wife cooks, pot roast. And I've even read that chicken is a very traditional Christmas dish in Europe, roasted chicken, to be specific. And I've even met folks who love fish for Christmas dinner, be it regular fish or shellfish like lobster or shrimp. So today on the Outdoor Cooking Show, we're going to talk about Christmas dinner. And that can cover a lot of bases and several different taste preferences. So that means we need a wide variety of opinions. And we'll try to accomplish that by speaking to three people with three completely different skill sets. One is going to be a foodie, a familiar foodie, who routinely experiments with widely varied recipes just for the fun of it. Another is going to be a professional chef with a distinctly historical perspective that I think you'll like. And the last will be an old friend and backyard cook who's always a joy and a pleasure to visit with. So don your chef's hat, pour yourself a little eggnog, and let's fire up the grill for Christmas dinner. And try to put all that Christmas shopping you haven't done yet out of your mind for a few minutes.
If your barbecue has gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Randy Hames here, and my salsa has to pass the chip test. That's why I personally recommend Jake's Atomic Salsa. Jake Johnson isn't your typical middle school student. He's picky about salsa, too, so he developed his own. And it was so good, his friends asked him to sell them some, and Jake's Atomic Salsa was born. Jake's Atomic Salsa has a hearty blend of tomatoes, plus roasted poblano, serrano, jalapeno, and habanero peppers. It also includes lots of fresh lemon and lime juice to add bright notes, with no large chunks of onion or cilantro. Jake's Atomic Salsa comes in four different flavors, from mild to out-of-this-world spicy, and goes great with eggs, enchiladas, meatloaf, Bloody Marys, or just pour it over cream cheese. It's the best salsa you've ever tasted, and all the profits go to pay for Jake's college education. Check out Jake's Atomic Salsa on Facebook, and go to jakesatomicsalsa.com to order a few jars, or try the variety pack with all four flavors. I know, you'll agree with me, Jake's Atomic Salsa is the bomb. Creekstone Outdoor Living. The name says it all. If you like being outdoors in your own space, you'll love Creekstone Outdoor Living. Located on the north side of Houston, Creekstone Outdoor Living has grills, lighting, appliances, pizza ovens, furniture, and even a design studio at 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60 in Spring, Texas, just off the Grand Parkway. If you love your backyard, Creekstone Outdoor Living has everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the Backyard Paradise Specialists. They also carry the quality brands you love, like Yeti, RCX, Lynx, Fire Magic, Weber, American Muscle Grill, The Big Green Egg, Coppersmith, and many more. Just looking for some storage for the game or fishing? No problem. The Yeti Tundra Coolers are perfect for the job and come in sizes weighing up to 90 pounds. And if you're looking for some great design ideas, inspiration, or even some of their work, visit their website at www.creekstoneoutdoors.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the Backyard Paradise Specialists, 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60, Spring, Texas, 713-389-5936. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Huh, like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Creek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin.
Now, here's the Grill Father, Randy Haynes.
We are happy to welcome the show's resident foodie and our executive producer, Greg Berlocker. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Randy. Merry Christmas.
And the same to you, sir. Greg and I talk almost every day, so this segment of the Outdoor Cooking Show is going to be kind of an extension of some of those conversations. We talk about guests and show concepts and food preparation techniques all the time. So this should be child's play for us, right, Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, that's why I got in the radio business in the first place, because I'm basically a child and I love to play on the radio. You, on the other hand, are a responsible adult with a real job. So tell us the basic sketch of your professional career.
I've been in the telecommunications industry for, 40 years now. I had the good fortune to be involved with satellite communications when it was early and have grown up in that industry. And now my company provides satellite communications to far out destinations like drilling rigs and ships and deserts and jungles and pipelines. So
somewhere along the way, you developed a love for food. What's that phrase you like to throw around?
Food is a noble cause.
Yeah, I said noble pursuit. But that kind of gives the image of a hunter-gatherer who pursues his food. Instead, yours is a cause. It's almost a campaign for you. You know, I've asked virtually every chef we've interviewed on this show the same question, which was, what inspired you to become a chef? And you'd be surprised how many of them said they were inspired by a family member who loved to cook, and that was no different for me. I'm certainly not a professional chef. I'm not even a foodie like you. But my father was the one who inspired me to get into outdoor grilling. I inherited that passion from my father. How about you? What piqued your interest in food preparation?
Well, I had two older brothers that went on to become Eagle Scouts. And so I was a member of the Boy Scouts, and I went on to become an Eagle Scout. So back when I was young, we actually learned how to cook over an open fire. And it was actually kind of a badge of honor in our patrol as to who was going to be the cook.
Ah.
So it was not a duty that everybody tried to shirk. It was actually, no, I'm a better cook than you are. So we developed a little pride in our cooking, and that's what actually spurred the interest.
Now, let's get down to the subject of today's show, which is Christmas dinner. First of all, where do you gather the family? Your home, kids' home, where?
Well, for years and years and years, it was mom and dad's. But as they aged, they allowed me to start cooking Thanksgiving dinner, and then I started cooking all of the dinners. So everybody gathers at my house, and we have a great celebration.
Do you have a go-to Christmas dinner, or do you mix it up?
We do. Standing rib roast is our go-to dinner, and I think, like yourself, we ate Thanksgiving turkey and Christmas turkey. It was the same every year. And then when Sally and I started traveling, I started realizing there's a whole bunch of flavors that I've never tried before. Standing rib roast was on sale one year at Randall's. And I said, I've never tried that. So we gave it a try, and it's become our most popular dinner.
I asked you one time how often you and Sally cook at home, and you said 6 or 7 nights a week. Do you remember that?
I do.
That indicates to me that you enjoy the process of preparing the food almost as much as actually eating it. So given that dynamic, would it be safe to assume that you and Sally handle most of the cooking duties for the family?
We do. It's a social hour for us. Sally and I have both worked, and she's retired now. And when we move to our new home, we have an island kitchen. And it's a communal thing where we both just enjoy meal preparation and catching up with one another. So it's as much about the preparation as it is about the meal.
So let's talk now about traditional Christmas dinner fare. Turkey and dressing was my parents' choice for both Thanksgiving and Christmas. And when I got a little bit older, I realized that other families didn't necessarily do that. Christmas ham is very popular, but some people have an aversion to pork, be it religious or cultural, perfectly legitimate. And roasted chicken is a European favorite. Plus, a lot of people eat Mexican food for Christmas dinner. I did not realize how popular that was. But we commissioned you to explore some even more unusual Christmas dinner possibilities, if you will. So what'd you come up with?
Well, speaking of Mexican food, in our family, for probably the last 40, maybe 50 years now. On Christmas Eve, we have tamales.
Ding, ding, ding. So do we.
Yep. So my mom started bringing them home. She was the secretary at Durham Elementary School, and there were some people there that made homemade tamales, and we went, wow, these are great. So we started going to the late service on Christmas Eve, and then we would start sleeping in on Christmas Day. So that was a nice, easy dinner that you could have late in the evening at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. And then we would have our traditional dinner late in the afternoon, and of course everybody would sleep in, so you didn't have to worry about breakfast on Christmas morning.
So standing rib roast is your go-to, right?
Yes.
So tell us how you prepare that.
Okay. The prime rib is called several different things. It's basically a ribeye with the bone attached.
Now, you're talking a ribeye steak?
Ribeye steak.
Bone in.
But if you leave all of the steaks in a long section, it's a roast, right? It's not just a steak.
Hmm.
So, and the curvature of the bones, you can set this down, and they're arched, and they make their own roasting rack. So people call it a standing rib roast. So you can get that with or without the bone. But when you put the bones in, it makes a nice roasting rack. And then all of the juices flow down in the pan as it's cooking. So there's different ways. The easiest way to do it, it makes it such a nice recipe, is that you cook it for about 20 minutes in a hot oven, about 450 degrees. That gets kind of a nice sear on the outside, and then you reduce the temperature down to 350 degrees, and then you roast it for X number of minutes per pound. Of course, a large roast is going to take longer to cook than a smaller roast. I have not found a single time estimate in online and in recipe books and things like that are really accurate. The best way to do it is to insert a meat thermometer right into the middle of the roast, and when it says rare, then it's rare and medium and well done. We like things more on this particular cut of meat, more on the well done side rather than on the rare side. So you can also do that same technique on a smoker or on a barbecue pit. So just move the meat over on indirect heat so it's not right over the charcoal or heat, or else you'll burn the roast up. But likewise, it's going to take somewhere between 2 to 4 hours, depending upon how long you need to cook it for rare versus well done, and, of course, the size. So an 8-pound roast is going to take a lot longer to cook than a 4-pound roast.
Of course. So that's a standing rib roast, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what else did you find?
There's all sorts of great lamb recipes. You can do a standing leg of lamb. You can do that on the smoker. One of my favorites is just a simple pork loin. I like to stuff those with typically a mixture of, say, spinach and mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
And then tie them up with kitchen twine.
Tie them up?
Yep, just to kind of seal it, because you're going to have to carve the pork loin open.
Sounds a little kinky to me, Greg.
Well, no, actually, the kitchen twine is for binding up the pork loin. So, and then you clip it off when you serve it. So,
what do you mean? You clip off the binding?
The twine? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay,
that keeps the stuffing from coming out when you cook.
Okay, now it comes to sides, and when it comes to sides, my family is very picky, if not predictable. My son Derek wants green beans. My daughter Skylar wants macaroni and cheese with a side order of cheese. And extra cheese, please. And my other daughter, my daughter-in-law, Danielle, wants mashed potatoes and gravy. Then there's my grandson, Liam. His favorite side is chocolate cake. So do you guys tailor your sides to the entree or just stick to basics?
We stick to traditional. Probably the most popular in the whole family is something we call smashed potatoes. And they're basically small new potatoes that you boil in salted water. You put them on a cookie sheet. You smash them with the bottom of a tumbler. So they look like small pancakes. You brush them with a little butter and maybe hit them with salt and pepper, and then you bake them for another 15, 20 minutes in a hot oven.
Break out the ball peen hammers. Here come the smashed potatoes. Greg Berlocker, our executive producer and resident foodie. Merry Christmas, Greg.
Merry Christmas, Randy.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. The Outdoor Cooking Show will be back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame after this short break.
Nothing beats farm fresh produce. Roadside stands are great, but not always well stocked. But Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin always has produce fresh from the field. You can't get produce this fresh in stores. Froberg's has a spacious covered market, or you can pick your own produce if you prefer. It's summer, so Froberg's has vine-ripe tomatoes, huge bell peppers, tender young okra, purple hull peas in and out of the shell, and a whole lot more. Fruits, vegetables, jams, jellies, pickles, and a huge selection of dried beans and peas. And Froberg's Farm is famous for its pies, both traditional homemade or fried pies, with over 20 different flavors. Order in advance, and Froberg's can have as many as you need ready for pickup. And be sure you visit Greek Smokehouse right next door while you're there. Froberg's Farm, only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days a week. Froberg's Farm, farm fresh produce since 1936. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the name says it all. If you like being outdoors in your own space, you'll love Creekstone Outdoor Living. Located on the north side of Houston, Creekstone Outdoor Living has grills, lighting, appliances, pizza ovens, furniture, and even a design studio at 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60 in Spring, Texas, just off the Grand Parkway. If you love your backyard, Creekstone Outdoor Living has everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the Backyard Paradise Specialists. They also carry the quality brands you love, like Yeti, RCX, Lynx, Fire Magic, Weber, American Muscle Grill, The Big Green Egg, Coppersmith, and many more. Just looking for some storage for the game or fishing? No problem. The Yeti Tundra Coolers are perfect for the job and come in sizes weighing up to 90 pounds. And if you're looking for some great design ideas, inspiration, or even some of their work, visit their website at www.creekstoneoutdoors.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the Backyard Paradise Specialists, 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60, Spring, Texas, 713-389-5936. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Randy Hames here, and my salsa has to pass the chip test. That's why I personally recommend Jake's Atomic Salsa. Jake Johnson isn't your typical middle school student. He's picky about salsa, too, so he developed his own. And it was so good, his friends asked him to sell them some, and Jake's Atomic Salsa was born. Jake's Atomic Salsa has a hearty blend of tomatoes, plus roasted poblano, serrano, jalapeno, and habanero peppers. It also includes lots of fresh lemon and lime juice to add bright notes, with no large chunks of onion or cilantro. Jake's Atomic Salsa comes in four different flavors, from mild to out-of-this-world spicy, and goes great with eggs, enchiladas, meatloaf, Bloody Marys, or just pour it over cream cheese. It's the best salsa you've ever tasted, and all the profits go to pay for Jake's college education. Check out Jake's Atomic Salsa on Facebook, and go to jakesatomicsalsa.com to order a few jars, or try the variety pack with all four flavors. I know, you'll agree with me, Jake's Atomic Salsa is the bomb.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the daddy-o of the patio, Randy Hames.
Say hello now to Nick Castleberg of the George Ranch Historical Park. How are you, Nick?
I'm good, Randy. How are you doing, my friend? Happy holidays to you.
And the same to you, sir. Nick went to high school in Spring Branch, but he's lived all over the world before he moved back to Katy. So, Nick, give us a brief overview of your wanderings in life.
Oh, goodness, man. Well, I was born in the UK in England, and then we lived in Malaysia, Singapore, and Penang for a few years, and then moved here to the fine state of Texas when I was 8. This has been my pretty much permanent home since then, but I did two Westpacs in the U.S. Navy, so got to travel all over Southeast Asia and, of course, the Middle East in 91 and 93. So.
Now, we featured Nick on one of our earliest episodes of the Outdoor Cooking Show. I believe it was 4th of July, and many of our listeners may have missed that appearance. So start out by telling us about the George Ranch.
Okay, well, the George Ranch is a living history museum located just outside Houston. You come 59 South, heading to Victoria, and exit the Grand Parkway or Crab River Road. We're about 5 miles down on the right. It's an interpretive museum where we have four different sites for the four different generations that settled here, originally settled with Stephen F. Austin's colony. Our ancestors were one of the original 300 that settled here in Fort Bend County. So we have four different sites illustrating each one of the generations. We have costumed interpreters out there, who literally live the part. So it's kind of like a full immersion experience. I explain it to a lot of people. If you've ever heard of Colonial Williamsburg, it's kind of like Williamsburg set to Texas history, which is even cooler.
And what are your duties at George Ranch, Nick?
Well, I'm the chef, so I do a lot of catering for our big corporate events. We have a wonderful Saturday meal program that's open to the public, and that's year-round every Saturday from 12:30 to 1:30. We serve historical food relevant to the site that we're at that particular Saturday. So let's say we're at the log cabin site, the 1830 site. We're going to serve you food that the early settlers here would have eaten, and we'll talk about food acquisition and food preservation. And then the best part is, of course, after a brief lecture, if you will, you actually get to jump up and grab a plate and actually eat that history.
But give us some idea of what Christmas looked like back in the early days of Texas.
Well, we got to remember early Texas. This was still a production society where we made our own clothes. If the kids got sick, you know, we didn't take them to the ER in the back of the truck. You know, so we produced everything we needed for ourselves. So it would have been quite a bit bleaker as far as presents and even groceries than what we're accustomed to. That didn't mean it wasn't special still. All year long, you're busy planning and hunting and preserving and curing and smoking, trying to make sure you've got stores put away for the winter months where the gardens aren't really producing too much and the game is kind of hunkered down. So a lot of the early Texas cuisine around Christmas time would have been created with preserved goods, you know, pickled and cured and smoked. The game probably would have been either a goose or a duck. We're sitting on a lake, and of course, we're right by the Brazos River as well, so waterfowl would have been abundant. During the year, you're eating a lot of pork, feral hog, good eating, but you're dining on that all the time. So Christmas being kind of a special day, we would have had some type of probably a waterfowl. Of course, the bread still probably would have been cornbread, not a lot of wheat flour here in early Texas, but we were growing a lot of our own corn, so cornbread, a lot of different salted or cured, like I said, sides. And the great thing, the thing that we have documentation of that the kids every year really look forward to in their stockings hung by the mantle, by the hearth, they would always get some citrus.
Ah.
And citrus to early Texas was a big deal. I mean, limes grow here, oranges grow here. I mean, you drive all over Houston, you'll see orange trees hanging over people's back fences by the road. So it does grow here, but in early Texas, it wasn't all that common place as it is now. So you get up Christmas morning, you go to your stocking, and, you know, there's a lemon, there's a lime, and there's an orange. That was a huge deal to these kiddos.
So now, like Stephen F. Austin, how would he have prepared Christmas dinner back in those days?
Well, again, there would have had been quite a bit of forethought, just like today when we create a menu and then we go to the grocery store and we do our shopping and then we come home and we do our prepping and cooking. You know, that hasn't changed. The acquisition process has certainly changed. Mr. Austin, of course, being a man of some means, I imagine his Christmas table was pretty nice. Nice big roasted goose, maybe a pheasant or a grouse. Of course, cornbread stuffing, more than likely. Maybe some vegetables on the sides and some type of a nice pone or pudding for dessert. And probably a little brandy or cognac to wash it down.
I can vaguely recall my sainted grandmother when I was a child. She didn't even own an electric range until my uncle gave her one for Christmas one year. Now, that was the 1950s, and I was just a pup, Nick. So I can't really honestly say I remember exactly what she cooked on before that. But I would imagine it was a wood-burning stove or a cooktop of some kind. Would that make sense from a historical perspective?
Yes, absolutely. In the early days, you would have been cooking just like you did on the trail coming here. We know the Joneses, the original settlers here, came from Arkansas. It took them well over 10 months to get here, so they were quite accustomed to preparing meals over just a hole in the ground, a campfire, per se.
Mm-hmm.
So early, you're going to be cooking over the open fire. Once you get the house built, you're going to have a hearth with a couple of swing arms built into the chimney where you can put pots in and swing them in or out, you know, towards the heat or away from the heat.
Let's jump back into the 21st century now, Nick. The George Ranch can host weddings and anniversaries and corporate events and reunions and, of course, holiday events. And that means you cater meals for big crowds. How many people can you accommodate at the George Ranch?
Well, some of our largest events out here number in the 3,000-4,000. Calibaron's Ball, for instance, is a huge. They do it all over the country, and we're blessed to have one of the Calibaron Balls here. In April. We don't cater that. Our kitchen just isn't that big, and we just don't have that much kitchen staff. But in-house, we do anywhere from 250 to 300.
What are the most popular menu items you offer for holiday parties?
Well, we got Campfire Christmas coming up this Saturday and next Friday. And that is a full-on roast dinner. But what we've done is we've kind of taken different menu items from different cultures that settled here in Texas. So we have a gammon, which is a ham from the Africa area. We have the roast turkey, of course, very symbolic of the Anglo-European settlers. We have mashed potatoes, of course, Irish and Germans, big on the mashed potatoes. It's very difficult to do a multicultural Christmas. We found as we started researching menus and recipes, you know, red cabbage doesn't really go with a roasted turkey and mashed potatoes and cream gravy.
Yeah.
So it took a little juggling. But I would say probably one of our most popular holiday items is one of the items that we sell a lot of throughout the year, and that would be our cobblers.
Ah. So George Ranch booked all the way through New Year?
Yes, we're open all the way through New Year. We do still have some spots open for the Campfire Christmas events. And, of course, you can come out during the day and wander around the park. We will not be doing Saturday meals this Saturday or next Saturday because we're going to be in the kitchen preparing a great big roast dinner with all the sides for, I think, the max tonight or Saturday night is 150.
So how can people schedule an event with you guys?
For the scheduling of the event, you need to call the Visitor Center. 281-343-0218, and then ask to speak to Site Rentals.
And I understand that your own personal website is back up and running. Give us that.
The name of the little group that we have is called Playing With Fire, very appropriate for what we do. And the website is www.myplayingwithfire.com. And we do a lot of the same things that I offer here at the ranch. We've got Dutch oven classes, charcuterie classes, which teach you how to make bacon and sausage and jerky and all of those wonderful things. We've got a cowboy camp cooking class where we utilize the crossbar and the tripod and the S-hooks, and we get really in-depth where you can prepare a fine meal, you know, in the middle of a prairie over a hole in the ground, basically. We have another option where we'll come out and set up the blacksmith forge and show you how to make all the S-hooks and the crossbar setups and the coal rakes and everything you're going to need to run your own primitive kitchen.
This is Nick Castleberg. He's the chef at the George Ranch Historical Park in Fort Bend County. Merry Christmas, Nick, and we hope you'll come back real soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Randy. Merry Christmas to you. God bless, and y'all take care now.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be back with more food and fun after this break.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Creekstone Outdoor Living. The name says it all. If you like being outdoors in your own space, you'll love Creekstone Outdoor Living. Located on the north side of Houston, Creekstone Outdoor Living has grills, lighting, appliances, pizza ovens, furniture, and even a design studio at 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60 in Spring, Texas, just off the Grand Parkway. If you love your backyard, Creekstone Outdoor Living has everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the Backyard Paradise Specialists. They also carry the quality brands you love, like Yeti, RCX, Lynx, Fire Magic, Weber, American Muscle Grill, The Big Green Egg, Coppersmith, and many more. Just looking for some storage for the game or fishing? No problem. The Yeti Tundra Coolers are perfect for the job and come in sizes weighing up to 90 pounds. And if you're looking for some great design ideas, inspiration, or even some of their work, visit their website at www.creekstoneoutdoors.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the Backyard Paradise Specialists, 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60, Spring, Texas, 713-389-5936. If you love the taste of homemade sausage, Greek Smokehouse at Froberg's Farm in Alvin is an old-fashioned smokehouse with good old-country service. Greek Smokehouse makes 10 different flavors of homemade sausage and smokes them for hours over burning pecan wood. No artificial smoke flavor at Greek's. You'll know that as soon as you walk in the door. Try the house favorite, jalapeno cheese, deer, and pork sausage, or Greek savory boudin, Italian, or summer sausage. The freezer is full of hand-cut ribeye and strip steaks, stuffed pork chops and chicken breasts, stuffed bell peppers, and even peppers stuffed with boudin. And Greek stock seasoning meats to add to your next batch of greens or beans. Nothing's better together than homemade sausage from Greek Smokehouse and fresh veggies from Froberg's Farm right next door. Only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days a week. Greek Smokehouse. Those boys know how to do it.
May the forks be with you. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Greek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the man who turns all the grills on, Randy Haynes.
Tis the season to be jolly. La 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 la.
Oh, this is the North Pole. How may I help you?
Oh, did I get the wrong number? I was calling Fred Olson.
Oh, no, 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 no. When he's out of pocket, he routes his calls up here.
Oh, well...
Remember, everything's better in the snow, even Brock Osweiler.
Oh, my. Well, hi, Santa. This is Fred's old radio buddy, you remember, from the Hudson and Harrigan show back in the day, Randy Haynes.
Mm-hmm.
I host the Outdoor Cooking Show now.
Oh, yes, Fred speaks highly of you, although he says you need to up your game on the ribs and brisket.
yeah. Well, I am a lifelong novice, and I'm proud of it. So are you ready for Christmas, Santa?
Well, you know, deadlines.
Well, just out of interest, what do you got in your bag for our new president-elect this year?
Oh, let's see here. I've got a couple of things, Mr. Randy. I've got a fair and balanced interview with 60 Minutes.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And I've got a new Twitter account with a built-in filter. Almost done.
I like that. What about Hillary Clinton?
Oh, let's see. I'll have to dig way down for this. It looks like it's a bag of coal from all the miners in Pennsylvania who've been out of work. How sweet.
I guess it's time to visit once again with my old radio buddy, Fred Olson.
Yeah, just don't call upon my knee.
Yeah. The best voice impersonator in the business.
You're so kind.
Do you remember back when our son, Derek, was about the same age as our grandson is now? He's about 4 or 5, and you called him as Santa?
Oh, do I remember well, yes.
Of course, you knew everything about him because you and I worked together and you watched him grow up. So he was amazed how much Santa knew, and it just reinforced that whole image for him.
A quick story for you. Just the other day, I made one for my stepson Michael and the grandkids, the 3 grandkids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did an elaborate production, and I sent it to him going, oh, they know that's Bapa. They call me Bapa. They're going to know it's me. Well, they didn't. They didn't know. And they listened, and their eyes got real wide when I mentioned their names, and I had this, you know, this music playing in the background, the sound of reindeer and all this kind of stuff. And they go, oh, it's Santa! Does everybody get one? And Michael goes, no, that's Papa. They go, no, it's not. Santa Claus.
That's great.
So they tried to tell him it was me, and they wouldn't believe him.
That's great. I love it.
So they let it roll.
Well, we need to do that for my grandson, Liam, too. Would you be willing to do that?
Oh, that would be. I would be honored to do that.
Yeah. You know, he's a little precocious. We were eating at a Lopez Mexican restaurant the other night. We had leftovers.
That's your favorite place.
Oh, yeah, it is. So Cindy boxed up the leftover nachos, and Liam was playing with crayons, so he wrote on her carton, "Box of Boogers." When we dragged out the leftovers after church on Sunday to eat, I said, "You going to eat your box of boogers now?"
Hey, speaking of food, speaking of good food, we're going to talk about maybe what we have for Christmas dinner. I have this amazing recipe.
Oh?
That will blow your mind, and it's one of those things that you'll make, and people will want the recipe for it. It's so amazing.
Oh, please share.
Yeah, Bev found it online. I know Food and Wine had it. And, okay, here's the name of it. Pecan-crusted beef tenderloin.
Ooh.
And you can use kind of a juniper au jus with it, which gives it this real neat flavor. But this is, and then with that, she'll add like scalloped potatoes, real creamy scalloped potatoes. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, yes.
Pecan-crusted beef tenderloin with this wine reduction that has this, you know, all the alcohol is burned out of it, but you still get this rich demi-glaze kind of thing you put over it. And then scalloped potatoes with that? Come on!
So describe how you cook that, Fred.
Well, what you do is you get a 2.5-pound trimmed center cut beef tenderloin. You don't tie it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of those that you tie. And you get, you know, I would look it up online to find out more about it, but I can give you the kind of a gist. You know, unsalted butter, ground pepper, extra virgin olive oil, Dijon mustard, pecans, thinly sliced shallots, a little bit of garlic, carrot, tablespoon of tomato paste. You see where this is going. It's going great. A cup and a half of a full-bodied red wine, like a Syrah, maybe a Zinfandel, something like that, and a cup of beef demi-glaze, which you can find in the frozen food section in good grocery stores. You preheat your oven to 425. You season the tenderloin, salt, and pepper. You melt the olive oil, add the tenderloins to the skillet. You cook over high heat. You brown them first, all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to put them in the oven. And then you're going to, of course, you know, kick it with this great sauce. And however you like it, we tend to like medium rare around here. And it is just, my mouth is watering. It's hard to talk. Oh, buddy, are we having that?
Yeah, I was just about to ask, when is dinner served, Fred?
Yeah.
It only serves 10, so I don't know. It's going to have to be us and your family. So
what's your family plans? Are the kids coming to see you? You're going up to Dallas? What?
They did that for Thanksgiving, but the day after Christmas, Michael's birthday is on the 27th.
Ah.
So we're going up on the 26th, and we're taking him out for this incredible Christmas dinner of sushi. So that's a joke, son. I said, that's a joke. Yeah, we're going to take him out for his birthday. So we always try to separate the Christmas presents from birthday.
Yeah, that's difficult to do.
Because since he was a little kid, it's always, hey, here's your birthday and Christmas present.
Well, we'll just have Derek and Danielle and Liam and Skylar over to the house, and we'll open gifts. Most of the gifts will be for Liam, obviously.
Yeah, of course, yes.
But then Cindy will roll out a family favorite. This kind of changed over the years. My mom and dad always gravitated toward turkey and dressing for both Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Right.
But my family kind of decided later on that they didn't really want to do that. My wife prepares a pot roast with homemade rice and gravy and green beans and rolls and all of that.
Ooh.
And they absolutely love that meal.
Mm.
So that's what she does for Christmas every year. It's a Christmas pot roast. And she does it in the crock pot.
Nice.
She'll start out by, you know, putting some flour and seasoning on this flat pot roast with lots of fat on it. God, I love that fat.
Yeah, you gotta have some fat. You got to. No, you do. I mean, you have to have flavor. So
she pan fries it a little bit to brown it. But you know, you could do that on the outdoor grill. I've never thought about that, and I may try that this year.
Well, I'm a big black skillet fan when it comes to browning things. That's me. You know, butter, olive oil, do that, and then brown it in a big skillet because the heat is so even in a good skillet.
Uh-huh.
The heat is uniform throughout if you treat it right, and that just makes a huge difference, I think. But yeah, I mean, grilling, absolutely, you could do that too.
But you got to season that skillet. You don't want to wash it out with soap. You want to leave it seasoned.
No. You never wash a skillet with soap. No. You got to oil it. You got to season it and treat it. Yeah, always. If you're going to get a skillet, look up how to treat them because they'll last you a lifetime.
And then my wife takes it right out of the skillet and she'll put it into the crock pot and then just cook it all day long.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, it's just absolutely sumptuous. But here's a cool trick you could do also. My wife likes to prepare a breakfast casserole. You won't be surprised to hear that we have more than one crock pot in my house. She'll prepare a breakfast casserole in the smaller crock pot that we'll have for Christmas morning. It's got eggs and sausage and bacon and potatoes, onions, lots of other stuff. And then she cooks that overnight so that it's ready on Christmas morning, and then all we got to do is make some toast and pour a little orange juice, brew some coffee, and there's breakfast on Christmas morning, and that lasts us until the pot roast is ready later on.
That is smart. I mean, to be able to turn it on super low and just let it cook all night slowly.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And, you know, I wanted to take the time to talk about all those great Christmases we spent with Jim Bob. Remember the rum cake recipe and when he learned to play the piano the color way and he butchered all the Christmas carols. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, here comes the bride. Oh, and Hudson and Landry's Frontier Christmas. I hear you, woman.
Of course, yes.
But dang, you and I get together and talk about food and we just run out of time.
One more toy here at the bottom of the basket here. The sack, rather. Well, let's see. Oh, maybe some throwing accuracy for Brock Osweiler.
Good luck with that. I love you, brother.
Love you, too.
Now, if I could just remember where I put that box of boogers.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on The Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?